for Man in Line with Andy Witt. Men's Radio.
My good afternoon. So open line today. Remember, tomorrow live from St. Ninian's High School with the students. What we used to call the sixth form at years 12 and 13. So tomorrow, a little truncated as the Queen's coming to Douglas. So if there's any excuse, it's the Queen coming to Douglas. So tomorrow live from St. Ninian's, and then the Queen live at, I suppose we should call it City Hall now, shouldn't we, in Ridgeway Street. In the meantime, we're open line and the floor is yours. Lines are open, 66 13 68, text 166 177, email studio at manxradio.com. And Jenny said, talking of potholes, and this has been the big subject with the the putting of a daffodil in a pothole in Port St. Mary. Nassau Road in Bride is horrendous since they built the amenity site on Bride Road. All the cars nip through on this small road. We're forever reporting potholes on Nassau Road in Bride. Last week they came, and instead of digging into the ditch to let the water go from one of the very large holes on the road, they just dumped tarmac in the water. It started to break up again. The whole roads need repairing, not just the potholes, says Jenny, bemoaning the state of Nassau Road in Bride. And Brian's with us now. Hi, Brian.
How are you today, Andy?
Very well, thank you. It's a nice day.
I wish I could say the same. I am feeling so despondent today, having attended the commissioner's meeting last night. I was absolutely appalled. In the spectators gallery, I'll call it, we had Julie Edge, John Horton, and a number of the public, few members of the public, and I witnessed a meeting that is unbelievable as far as Onchan is concerned. I served on the board there for more than 10 years, and we all had respect for one another, even though we came from different political backgrounds and had different ideas. But the first horror story is that there's work needing doing in the district on the public lighting that hasn't been budgeted, and it's nearly £1 million. And we've just had a nearly 10.2% increase in the rates, and the reserves are running almost depleted. What's happened since I left the commission? They've spent everything. But that's not what appalled me. The meeting continued, and as you probably know, it ends the public session, and then they go into private, thrown out. Well, a spat between a couple of members is one thing, but when a member of the authority is accused of and admits to going round and photographing a fellow member who has parked on yellow lines just to make a point and try to make some political mileage by reporting him to the police, what have we descended to? I have to take my hat off to Zara, the chairman of that meeting, and as far as Ross, the clerk to the authority, is concerned, he is an excellent man, but he is working as a lion tamer. Of course, he has to straddle all the horses there. He has to have no favourites, and he has to smile and agree with every single one of the members, and they're acting, one in particular, like a child. I cannot believe Onchan has degraded to this level. I was so incensed when the public started to leave, I got up and addressed the boardroom table and expressed to them all, if you think you will be standing for an election for the House of Keys, and I think you're all aspiring members for that, you can think again. You will be lucky to serve out your time with this authority if I have my way.
And what did they say? What did they say, Brian?
No confidence.
What did they say?
Hey, well, David Quirk said, I'll be here. Well, David, not if you carry on the way you're going, you won't be there. That's a mess. An absolute mess. What happened to working together? Oh, if the population of the island doesn't start pulling its politicians into line and taking an interest in the elections, God knows where we're going to end up. You can't have children running an authority, spending millions of pounds of our money stupidly. You know, these are the policy makers for our future. And all I can see is squabbling children struggling to get themselves a seat in the House of Keys so they can sit back fat and happy. Well, you've got work to do.
Brian, but I mean, elected representatives have always fallen out. There's always been spats. Is it any worse than it ever was?
Oh, miles worse. Look, I was one of the worst. I argued with them all. I always had a mantra that I never represented the people of Onchan lest I wore a suit. I put a suit on for every meeting of the commissioners and every public meeting I went to. I never had any alcohol at any of these functions and things where they have free bar and all sorts of things. There's a certain standard you have to achieve. That boardroom table, three members were wearing ties. And, well, the way they were sat and the respect they showed for one another was nil. I really can't believe. Do you know, Terry Black, God rest his soul, and I crossed swords time and time again. Keith Watterson and I had totally differing views on certain subjects, and we fought our corners in that boardroom. And I could name all of them, but nobody I ever came into contact with in politics carried the grievance outside that boardroom. You were there to do what you thought was right for the people that you were representing. It wasn't personal. You just stick up for what you believe to be right. And if you can't work together when you've got differing political views, well, you shouldn't be in politics.
You're still a relatively young man, Brian, so will you be putting yourself forward for public office at some time in the future?
I have stood for the Keys twice and haven't got in. I promised my wife that I would pack it in. She took ill and she died. And I said to her, long before she died, I was finished with politics. You know, I was disgusted with, what happened to me and certain other people. You know, there was filled with lies and venom all over the squash courts. And I have to say the press disappointed me because the truth is recorded in the minutes of every meeting. Just giving both sides of the argument gives somebody the opportunity to lie through their teeth. Somebody investigated journalism, you know, is dead on the Isle of Man. I only know it's expensive and time-consuming, but to be right and truthful would be nice occasionally. But we've got a situation now where it's just degrading. And as far as you're concerned, I'm not a young man anymore. The last time I went to the doctors, I went in and Blunty Lunt said to me, oh, my God, are you still with us? 72 now. I'm getting richer every day, but slower. So,
all right. Okay, Brian, thanks for calling today.
All the best. Take care, Andy.
Cheers,
bye.
Now it's 19 minutes past 12 on Manx Radio. David's with us as well. Hi, David.
Hi, Randy. I'll be nice to Brian, and I know Brian quite well, and I'm sure in the past he would have voted for me, but he paints a picture of last night's meeting, which is he used a lot of oil instead of a lot of ordinary paint anyway. But I'm not here to defend myself, because I can do that. There's not a problem at all. And I know the people of the village know the commissioners in the boardroom. They may not know all the boardroom members totally. They're fine. We're not £1 million in debt. The finances are online. And if you want to look for the Onken website, look for the meeting agenda, which was for last night, and you'll see that the commissioners were quite open and honest with quite a lot of stuff there. But there are a certain caucus of 5 or 6 individuals who maybe should have permanent seats for them at the boardroom, because they're not very excited. But I want to put a positive spin on, and regarding the DOI, I want to give praise to the guys who are working in Governor's Road in Onken. They did a strip right through from Wyburn Drive down to Corkle's Garage. And today they're actually doing the pavement on the right-hand side coming into Onken, which has been like the Mountains of Mourne, up and down and wherever. And I just want to give them praise to the team that's doing the work there. And the line painters, you know, I don't know a lot of lads now that in the DOI, but they're very honest, they're very truthful, and I believe they'd like to do more, but it's difficult trying to get money out of Treasury or the taxes or whatever, and there is a lot to do. And I'm just wondering, because of the stunt down in Port St. Mary, is whether we should grow some geraniums in our potholes, which are all recorded through the system. And Andy, sometime I'd like you to get on, because I know Stu Peters was on the other day regarding the daffodils. I hope they didn't just bin them. But I'd like to see Stu come on sometime. And being a radio presenter too, fire some questions to him. He would tell you, I'm sure he'd tell you, the truth is they haven't got the budget. They can't do all the things in the island. But the conundrum is, we do the stuff for the TT course, and I accept that. And I accept it, Andy, that we've got to do things for the future. And down the other day, looking at the beach, it's a great job, that contractor down there, which we don't know how it was tendered out, bringing the stuff near the Palace Hotel and Empress Hotel end over to further to the sea terminal end, and laying it down, and it's not moving at all.
Okay.
And I'd leave it at that.
Okay.
And my number's in the, well, it's not in the book, because I'm a Sure customer.
Okay.
But you can always send me an email.
Okay.
All right?
I just want to ask you that, because, again, you've been in politics, local and national, for a long time as well.
Yeah.
Is it any nastier than it ever was? Is it still the same? I mean, you see, often...
No. The nastiness comes from the keyboard warriors. I've got broad shoulders. My family's got broad shoulders as well. The people who I meet in the village say, who's this guy? I won't name him, but everybody knows who he is in the village. He's an ex-trade unionist, keyboard warrior. When I was in the union, he got dumped from a certain things, and, I'd love him to stand. I'd love him to stand next year. There you go. Make sure he comes out and does something. He did it in the past, but didn't get in.
Okay. All right. Thanks for calling today.
See you, boy. Bye.
All right. It's 21 minutes past 12 on Man in Line today. And let's get to, I think we've got, is it Wilf? Hi, Wilf.
It is. Hiya. I'm sorry to keep coming on and wasting time, or that other people can come on and talking about South Beach.
Yeah.
But I only deal in facts. And I've been around, come May the 4th, I'll be 80 years of age, lived in Ramsey all my life. So I know exactly what I'm talking about. Now, this thing is, they've said that, or the people in charge have said, who are having a clue what they're talking about, have said, if we take the gravel away from South Beach in the corner, it might compromise the wall and the pier, the stone pier, which is absolute tripe. I looked yesterday. If you go back a lot of years, we had railings there. The prom isn't altered in height at all along there. We had railings. Now, as kids, when I was a kid, and all these people with me, who's still alive, could jump off that corner when the tide was in and disappear under the water. The tide come right into the corner. At the moment, if we went back and put the railings back to the wall away, the sand and the gravel would now be on the promenade, the same as it did in Douglas. It's right up to the to where they put the foundation of the wall in. It's absolute nonsense. You could take 10 feet of gravel away from there. It wouldn't make a heap of the difference to anything.
By the way,
except make it... Yeah.
Did you know that you've stirred Beach Buddies up? They're coming to Ramsey on Sunday. When you said yesterday about Beach Buddies, they heard it, and they're coming to Ramsey on Sunday to clean the place up.
Well, yes, okay. But the only thing is, to clean it up, they need a digger. Because all the rubbish that was fetched in with the east wind is now buried under tons and tons of gravel. It's underneath. They can only pick off the top, which is fair enough. But the trouble is now, the grass has started to grow on it again.
Right.
Where the tide used to come in. So it's got to be scraped away. And I seem to be the only one that's harping on about it. But when people start to complain, them complaints will come back to the commissioners. And we actually hire that piece. We pay the government to hire that piece of beach. Why we have to do that, I don't know, but we do. And it's our responsibility in the paperwork for that we keep the beach clean. And we're not allowed. It's just absolute madness.
And you reckon, you've said this, but this will bear repeating then, you've said it before, what would it take to clean it, to scrape it away? How long, what sort of job is it? A long job?
Well, I've got people that will do it for free, like they did before, 2 years ago. They took 1,000 tons of gravel away, like they should have done in Douglas to keep it off the promenade. Now, they took it away, got rid of it, and everybody was happy that for the next summer. Now then, it's built up again. There might be birds nesting on it now. I don't know. I haven't had a look. But it's up to the height where birds can nest on it, and the tide won't get them. And if they nest there, DEFA will come in and fence it off, and then when the tide is in, we've got no beach.
Right, so is it only ever going to get bigger if it's left alone?
If you leave it alone, actually, there's two slips there. One slip is the one for the lifeboat, but there's another slip there which has got boards across the entrance to stop, which was the original lifeboat slip before they built the one they've got now. And there's boards across, 3 boards high. That's about, I don't know, 2'6" or whatever high. There's one missing at the top, which would make it about 3 foot high. And they're put there to stop the beach coming onto the prom through the winter.
Well, we'll see what happens, so, Wilf.
I hope something will happen before Easter.
Okay. All right. Thanks for calling today.
Okay.
Good to hear from you. And if you're in the north, if you're around Ramsey, if you can take a photo of the assembled pile there, then I'd appreciate it. You want to WhatsApp it in on 166 177. We'd like to see that and see what all the fuss is about. And do you agree with Wilf? Is that what you think should happen? Text, email, call, WhatsApp. The state of our beaches and the fact that, well, certainly in on Douglas Bay, of course, the beaches rising up and up and up and up and up. when you go north of the War Memorial, the beach is just getting higher and higher and higher. South of the War Memorial, as it ever was, but north, it is just coming up to meet the promenade. Now, if that's going to be sorted by a big wall being built, well, we don't quite know. But surely if it's coming up and up and up, it will only ever do that. Thanks also. And by the way, Brian and David were talking about Hong Kong commissioners, I must recommend, by the way, you go to Hong Kong District Commissioner's website. It's hongkong.org.im. There's a fantastic, really good quality video of the water wheel being put into Groudle Glen, that water wheel that was the old small water wheel that was there. Just a shame they never put a dynamo on that so they could run some electricity off it. But never mind, I'm sure it can be retrofitted for the future. But a great video at hongkong.org.im. And of course, our local democracy reporter will probably have a report on what's been going on at Hong Kong, because quite a lot seems to be going on with Hong Kong. I absolutely agree with Wilf. Get the diggers down to that end of South Beach and get it cleaned up like it used to be, says Dave. And John said, I've been walking up the Crossuggs for over 20 years. I've never seen Crossuggs Lane so bad. Crossuggs Lane is wrecked. It's full of potholes by heavy vehicles who've been using the lane to make a fish pond in the garden of a new house at the end of the lane. I saw ducks swimming in the potholes the other day. Did you, John? It's a right mess. The state of our potholes, you may have seen it. Michelle has been putting daffodils in potholes in Port St Mary. This is, well, crikey. Have you heard this story?
At the conclusion of this sitting, I'm intending to park daffodils in the deepest of the potholes. It's the only thing in my power that I have to bring a little bit of cheer to the residents who've had to put up with this awful stretch of road for so long. And with so little movement from the DOI to do anything to fix it, I'm doing daffodils for spring. I hope to follow up with geraniums in the summer. And I hope not to get as far as Christmas trees by December.
There, that's Michelle Haywood, MHK for Russian, one of the Russian MHKs talking about. And I don't know whether you remember when she and June Watterson were on Man in Line in our constituency, Man in Line for Russian. She said, it is the worst road in the Isle of Man. Possibly to do with the fact there's an Irish pipe underneath it, but it doesn't need patching, she said. It needs completely rebuilding. And that, of course, will cost an arm and a leg. It will cost a fortune. And have you noticed, most things on the Isle of Man that cost money seem to be put on hold at the moment. It would almost suggest that we're a bit short of money. And Howard's on now. Hi, Howard.
Hi there, Andy. Just come in, doing my bit, the same as Michelle Haywood. I'm doing the garden. Just listening to the last caller, or yourself as well, with the stones on the beach. I can remember them up there at by the Empress, the Esplanade. They've always been there. And if you look at them, old photographs, etc., say in the Victorian days, when they, in the heydays of the tourist industry, the hotels used to wash the laundry, etc., the bedding, and lots of times that was put out on the stone area at the top of the beach, which, if you look at the photographs a bit closer, the beach is as high as the walkway there. It's not something new. It's just something that's been neglected. And they're saying £1 million will cure it. But that's their answer to everyone that's thrown money at it, instead of a bit of common sense. If you look at the similar photographs, the hotels in the Onken area, they also use the beach at Port Jack for drying the laundry. They would spread it out, and this is the days when we used to get sunshine in summers. But this is not a new phenomenon. And they're blaming the breakwater, the lack of the groins, etc. Well, that won't help matters. But I can remember going back, they had this, and they had one of those Rustin Bookers, one of the big caterpillar excavators down on the promenade, and this is going back 50 years or more. And that was down just at the bottom of Broadway, and they were digging a huge trench and putting a stone in on the presumption that it will drain the beach. But it's down to neglect, a lack of work. Put it off, and eventually nature catches you up. And you've got to try and keep ahead of it. You'll never beat it. But Bear in mind that promenade was extended out to sea, and sea is trying to find its way back indoors, and any 2-3 foot wall just won't make a heap of the difference. So if the government get up their fat backsides and go down and have a look and see what's happening down there, and ask somebody, locals, somebody that knows what's happening, not a computer, because the computer says no, or we work on these models and they say it's going to do, and after it's failed, they say, well, the computer said it would. But that there, that stone has been building up all of my life down in that area. And it used to get swept away from the back of the war memorial. Then within a few short years, depending on what the tides were, it would all come back again. And it would get swept away again. It's just the way the tide runs. And sweeping around the curve of the bay, that's the central point where anything's going to get dumped.
Okay.
So I'll leave that one with you. I'll go back to my garden now.
Appreciate that. Thanks. Excellent. Good to hear from you. Thanks, Howard. Build on that. Hi, Bill. It's Bill Dale from Beach Buddies. Hi, Bill.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. So you're off to the north on Sunday, yeah?
Yeah, we are. We were listening yesterday and heard about the supposed build-up of rubbish on the north, the south beach at Ramsey. So we went down there actually this morning and had a look, and we picked up eight items. So, you know, in terms of rubbish, it was exaggerated beyond belief. I picked it all up in one hand and threw it in a bin, and we put some in a recycling. So sometimes the things that said on air bemuse us slightly, because you can imagine we're on the beaches all the time. And in fact, that stretch of beach is where we go pretty much 3-4 times a week, because we walk the dog on the other side of the lifeboat slip.
Right.
But there is an issue with some of the gravel and stones being washed up a little bit high, but honestly, you give it another couple of weeks and another storm and it'll be back out. In fact, the lifeboat slip itself is more exposed now. The bottom of it is more exposed now than it has been for a long time. So all it means is the stuff that's there is just getting moved around. And if the government thinks that somebody says throw £1 million at it, what a complete waste of money. Lots of these things, like 15 seaweed was from that. Why on earth did that happen? It's a complete waste of time.
Right, so let me see.
Nature has its own way of doing these things.
A week on Thursday, Bill, the schools break up for Easter. Would you reckon South Beach is going to be fine for people to play on and have a good time?
Yeah, of course it is. There's a fair few sticks at the very high watermark, but honestly, it's fine. There's no problem at all. We just sometimes have to rein it in a bit, I think.
Okay. Now, I remember last time you were in Ramsey, didn't they drain the Murrock and you cleaned that up, didn't you?
Yeah, we do that once a year, normally before the there's a triathlon. So to clear it for the swimmers, we ask them to drain it, which they do. They organise that for us. We go in. You have to wear wellies and waders, and we shift all of the things that might catch the swimmers. You know, like bits of trees and branches and stuff. We do that once a year. That's normally around about July, August, something like that. But this weekend, we thought. I went down to have a look at the beach, and there's next to nothing to do down there. So we'll have a community clean-up. So we'll go up the Pol Duey or up the river or round about the harbour area, and people can come and join us in the Shoprite car park on Sunday. Everybody welcome.
So 10:30, Shoprite car park.
Sunday. Yeah, okay. Brilliant.
Just one thing, Bill, I want to ask you.
Yes.
I've been trying to find your website, beachbuddies.net. It seems to have moved. Where is it?
Yeah, somebody's hijacked it, so we've got a new one now, Andy. It's beachbuddies.org.im.
Okay, so beachbuddies.org.im. All right, appreciate
that. Yeah, we had to. Yeah, sorry. Okay,
appreciate
not our
that.
Fault.
Okay, all right. Thanks, Bill. Thanks for calling.
Cheers, Andy. Thank you.
All right, 24 minutes before one.
We interrupt this broadcast to inform all our listeners about the huge range of bathrooms and showers on display at Pacesetter. Yes, you all know that Pacesetter is known as the island's largest tile store, but I'm here to tell you that their bathroom displays are truly inspirational. visit Paycentre on Harris Terrace, where you'll discover a fabulous collection of stylish bathrooms. There's something to suit everyone, with design available. Paycentre bathrooms and showers to show off about.
Can you be sure your health and safety needs are covered? If not, do you have a good company lawyer? A training course for your staff with St John Ambulance could make a difference to someone's life in the workplace or beyond. Working and managing safely, risk assessment, fire marshal, moving and handling, and a whole raft of first aid courses are on offer. Discover how St John Ambulance can help keep your staff safe and keep you within the law by calling 674 387. That's 674 387 to help make a difference to someone's life.
Want a skin treatment you can trust to reduce the appearance of wrinkles and isn't a trend or a fad or just another bit of marketing? From skin boosters to dermal fillers and the latest in laser technology with Alma Lasers. At the Tracy Bell Clinic, we now have more ways than ever to effectively harness your natural beauty. To book a consultation and to discover more, call the Tracy Bell Clinic on 613 323.
Isle of Man Railways. Get your tickets now for this season's range of onboard dining events featuring old favourites like the legendary Pie and Mash Train, the Curry Club and more, including memorable dining experiences on one of our Steam theme events with something for everyone. To find out what's cooking on the dining car or to book, call 697 457 or visit rail.im.
I'm Amy Griffiths, and on this week's Island Life, we're talking about housing. During the 2021 election campaign, it was one of the most important topics for people on the doorstep. But with rental shortages, high average house prices, and limited support for first-time buyers still issues on the island, is it still a priority for this administration? Find out tonight at 6 o'clock or available as a podcast at manxradio.com.
The Man in Line with Andy Witt.
Andrew's on now. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, good day to Andy and everybody from London XL. So apologies about the background noise because there's thousands of people here. I was listening in to Tynwald this morning and they were talking about a memorial garden for COVID victims and how it had been agreed in principle. And I think the figure I heard was it was when it was put forward, when it had been planned, there'd be a cost of about £115,000. But hey, death as usual, it's delayed. And now, I think it was Dr. Arnson saying, well, of course, now it's going to cost considerably more, and there's no money available. No money available. Every department's under extreme pressure, and that just made me think, Andy, please, why is the Queen Consort coming tomorrow?
She's coming to declare Douglas a city, I think.
Yeah, so Douglas brought this upon themselves by putting themselves forward to be a city. So are the Douglas ratepayers paying for her visit, you know? Or is Isle of Man government paying for her visit? Who is actually paying for her to visit, to confer on Douglas Borough Council city status, where they've been using city status beforehand, misrepresenting themselves, because they're not, are they? Because that's why she's coming, to give them city status. But I'm just wondering, who is actually paying for her to visit? And couldn't the Lord of Man been invited to Tynwald ceremony and done the job at the same time?
Interesting. Well, I'm not sure what the cost will be. Presumably, the royal household will handle their own security costs. I've seen them jet washing the pavement outside what we'll now call Douglas City Hall. They've been jet washing that non-stop this week. So I don't know what else their costs are going to be.
Well, it's a bit. I mean, it's all the extra costs of Isle of Man constabulary time with maybe. You know, people having to do overtime and other departments having to contribute and do overtime. And I'm sure in my mind, it will not be a zero cost to Douglas ratepayers or Isle of Man. So it's just, in my mind, it's wrong that this is being done as a separate visit other than somebody from the royal household coming to Turnbull ceremony.
Getting back to the COVID memorial garden, though, I mean, that's a big...
So there's no money.
But that's a priority as far as you're concerned.
Well, it's more of a priority to for remembrance than for £115,000. And obviously, if it turns out that anything has cost Isle of Man more than £115,000 for the Queen Consort to visit when she's not needed to visit, that's just a shame. And it's a shame on whoever's accepted her to come.
Okay. All right. We appreciate that.
Good.
Have a good time at XL, Andrew.
Thanking you. Take care now.
All right, 17 minutes before one. The Chief Minister says, actually, it's £150,000, the estimate likely, for the COVID gardens. He reckons the £150,000 estimate will have risen significantly. Now, proposals for the COVID Memorial Garden have been put on hold amid immense cost pressures facing the government. You'll hear that a lot. Immense cost pressures after Tim Warbeck calls for the memorial in 2021. It was July 2021, Coolerai Gardens were identified as the most appropriate location for the project, initially £150,000. Well, questioned in Tynwald, Mr. Cannon says he reckons it will have gone up significantly. How can it have gone up significantly? The price of bulbs gone up, or shrubs? What's happened? Anyway, Arbury Castle Town and Maloo MHK, Jason Morehouse, asked if the memorial could be sped up. Mr. Cannon didn't think so.
Spending is having to be prioritised. Departments are having to look very, very carefully. I'm sure we'll be talking about prioritisation and where the effectiveness and efficiency should lie when we talk about the island plan. COVID has taken its toll. I'm sure that this project will eventually get some traction, but of course it depends on the bids that now go in.
There he is. That's the COVID. It was 2021. It's now March 2024. I just want to go back to the pothole thing as well. You've heard the name Stu Peters mentioned. Now, the reason is, well, I'll give you the story of infrastructure. The infrastructure minister is Tim Crookall, MHK. The chief officer's Emily Kerfey. She's a senior civil servant in charge there. And there are two political members in infrastructure, Dawn Kinnish, MLC, Stu Peters. Middle MHK. This is what Stu Peters has to say about potholes.
Potholes are unfortunately a fact of life. What the department does is that it actually prioritises them. So if there are potholes in dangerous positions or on busy roads, they tend to get done sooner than ones on quiet roads or in sort of backwaters. It's a huge irritation, but we've got limited resources and we do what we can. I suppose it's all down to weight, and it's down to the amount of power that they put down, and vehicles are bigger and more powerful and heavier now.
There he is, Stu Peters, MHK, talking about the potholes around the Isle of Man. You got a favourite pothole? I mean, it's no joke. But didn't they once upon a time, if you damaged your vehicle, couldn't you claim off the government for damage? Is that scheme still around? Wilf's back. Hi, Wilf.
Hi. It's just a couple more facts for you. The rubbish I'm talking about, the sand and the gravel has built up so much that rubbish now cannot be picked up by the beach buggy people because it's now buried under the sand. That's there. Now, the other fact is, it's just unfortunate, but that part of the beach is the dirty corner of South Beach. Nothing ever gets washed away from there. Doesn't matter which way the wind's blowing, because anything from the landward side is sheltered and it does not take away from that corner. It only builds up. Now, another thing that I've heard is the beach buggy man is doing up a 2CV car. I have got one that's disintegrated and lying in the grass, but it's all there. If he wants any bits, he's quite welcome to them.
Is it anywhere near functional, Wilf?
Oh, no. No, 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 no. No, the grass is higher than the car. But it's there. The engine's there and everything, and the wheels are there, and the axles and all the rest of it. So there will be bits. If he needs any bits, they're there.
Just tell me, how far underneath the grit and the gravel and the sand is this rubbish you're talking about?
It'll be down about 3 feet now.
Okay, all right.
Because it got bad there, it got bad in the winter, and then we've had all this inshore blows, and it's fetched the gravel in and the sand and covered it over now, but it's starting to grow grass again on the top of it, and that's when we get in trouble.
Okay, all right, thanks, Will.
Okay.
We appreciate that. Thanks for calling today. Has anybody, Mrs. P on 411 says, Andy, has anybody commented on the speed ramp on entering Chester Street car park? I've got a small car. It's a nightmare driving over the ramp. I appreciate they're trying to restrict the racers, but not all of us come into that category, says Mrs. P. Thanks also to Sue, who said, I don't wish to be disrespectful, but why do we need a COVID memorial? Well, it was agreed in 2021, Sue. But anyway, no, we take your point. As a Douglas ratepayer, I'm happy to cover the Queen's visit, as it is a one-off, says Ali. I'm just trying to imagine, what will the cost be? Well, I think the Queen Camilla is going to the Lieutenant Governor's place, so they'll be covering the costs of the sandwiches and the pop there, presumably. But what cost will there be? Well, Andrew said there will be certainly constabulary costs in this. What does city status have to do with royalty? It's our island, not the King of England. Well, Lord of Man, I think, and it's something to do with once city status is conferred, it has to be kind of rubber stamped by senior royalty. That's my understanding anyway. It's a bit like our ship registry. They have to kind of visit to verify it. Are they using the bubblegum machine outside the town hall to get rid of the chewing gum off the pavements? I'm assuming Queen Camilla won't be seeing chewing gum on Ridgeway Street tomorrow. Don't worry about potholes. Regarding the 2030 net zero documentary, private cars will be banned and all the money going to climate change programmes. Says Texter 039. A question, if anybody is going around taking pictures of people, their homes and vehicles, should that person register with the Information Commissioner, says Andy. I don't think so. As long as you're doing it from a public road, you can take, if you're on public land, you can take photos of whatever you want. Short of members of the CIA and the Russian Politburo. Nice to hear Beach Buddies on talking about the rubbish and what have you. Good to hear from you. 005. And also, I think Andy, Andrew and Will from Brian should go for the Isle of Man government, says John. Everybody always says that. Well, the potholes in Ballajora are horrific. Perhaps if they stop paying such high wages to a top-heavy number of employees in the DOI, we could have some money to fill the potholes. I looked at the rates of salary for civil servants. I was horrified, says Daphne. Horrified to see that they get more than in most in private enterprise, who in fact pay their wages. Interesting conundrum, that is. Once upon a time, it was there was a kind of an agreement, really. If you were in public service, you didn't get the highest wage, but you wouldn't really lose your job, and there would be a pension at the age of it. If you worked in business, you got higher wages, but you could get sacked summarily if you didn't do your job. Times seem to have changed, whatever that is. It could be recruitment companies have done it, headhunting companies have done it, but certainly if you look at the number of six-figure salaries paid within our government, seems to be rather a lot.
The Man in Line. Daily interaction, debate and exchange of ideas. Broadcast on Manx Radio.
In our quest to remove all single-use plastic from our milk packaging, Isle of Man Creamery cartons, including the new 1.75-litre carton, are now 100% recyclable, made from sustainable and renewable sources. We're the first in the British Isles to offer these new large cartons, and you can pick them up now in local retailers or add them to your Isle of Man Creamery doorstep delivery. Plant-based cartons from Isle of Man Creamery. Better for the environment, better for you.
Oh! How do I get out? Oh, no!
Grandad, it's not real.
The fun never stops with Shaw's unlimited fibre broadband. From £39.95 a month, it's the cheapest on island. Landline not needed. Find out more at shaw.com or see us in store.
When it comes to money, rainy days happen to us all. If you'd like to save for a rainy day, choose your local Manx Credit Union, where your savings stay in the local economy and go towards helping families and island residents on their own rainy days. Visit Manx Credit Union Peel Road and find our newly extended opening hours online at mcu.im. Save with the Manx Credit Union. Every bit of savings really does make a difference. Manx Credit Union is licensed by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
Whether you like live music, theatre, film, or running around in circles pretending to be a superhero, you'll love Villa Gaiety. With Dragon's Castle Play Area, Broadway Cinema, Gaiety Theatre and the Villa Marina. Check out the upcoming events at villagaiety.com or call 600-555. Villa Gaiety, the island's premier entertainment venue.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Regarding potholes in the road, I don't drive, but as a pedestrian, says this correspondent, they're still massively dangerous. During winter on the road, which isn't well lit, I've tripped a number of times on some of them. It's almost every road. Somebody said that they prioritise roads to fill, but it seems they haven't done any. Further than this, the pavements are just as bad for walkers. Imagine a person with a pram or someone in a wheelchair hitting one of these. Instead of using the money on paying people who aren't sorting the issue out, use it to sort the issue out, says Texter 713. It's been an issue since I was a kid. Matt needs more coffee, says that. Matt, head for the jar. And let's see. Oh, Brian's back. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Andy. Just responding to David there. I've sent you a copy of the email, or I've copied you on the email that I've sent to Mr. Ross Phillips, clerk of the authority, who will be writing up the minutes of last night's meeting, which will become public in a fortnight's time. Now, I'll be kind. I won't say Mr. Quirk was a blatant liar, though I may feel that. But he certainly got a very poor recollection of what I witnessed and was witnessed by others in the public gallery at the meeting last night. So we'll wait and see what comes out of the minutes.
And they'll be released in 2 weeks?
Yes, they'll go to the meeting in 2 weeks' time. And once they're approved by members, they then go into the public domain. And I've asked Ross not to redact them. Let's have full, complete minutes so that the ratepayers can actually see what goes on at these meetings. I mean, he's doing his best, and I have the greatest respect for him, and Onken won't be able to keep him much longer if they don't get this three-ring circus sorted out. But I've asked him, please, don't try and put on a glossy face to it. That's past. The time for that is past. Be open and honest with the people. We've got a dysfunctional commissioners at the moment, and the quicker the people know about that, the quicker we can start putting things right.
Okay. But all right. We appreciate
thank you very much.
Appreciate that, Brian. Thanks for calling today. I also got a note in from Samantha. Thank you for your note, Samantha. She said you had somebody on, I think, last year talking about smart meters from Manx Utilities. What's the number to call if you've got an issue with smart meters? The number, Samantha, is 687-687. It's the Manx Utilities number. So if you're having a problem with smart meter, or you need anything explained regarding smart meters, then they'll talk to you for hours about smart meters. If you want to email them, it's accounts at manxutilities.com, I believe. But 687-687. That's it. Tomorrow we're going to be live from St Ninian's High School with years 12 and 13, talking about their lives, what their view is of everything that's going on around. So live at St Ninian's, then after Manningland, we're going to be live in Douglas for the arrival of Queen Camilla. Towards the end of this month, Douglas Central MHKs and caller to Chris Thomas will be on Man in Line. And thanks to Howie Kane on the phones today.